One of the more mysterious parts of Parsha Shemini is definitely the chet of Nadav and Avihu and the resulting onesh and aftermath. Beginning of Perek Yud, Nadav and Avihu, the Torah describes them, the two older sons of Aaron. The Torah describes the beginning of Perek Yud as they each took their machta, their fire pan, which he would use for burning ketores. They put in fire. They place ketores atop the fire. And they were makir before Ribono Shel Olam as a foreign fire which he had not commanded, and their onesh was misa bidei shamayim. And miraculously pass away. A miraculous fire kills them. What their chet is a question that Rishonim debate. Different Rishonim have different approaches. What exactly? Well, certainly, Haktoros Ketoros is a mitzvah, but there was obviously something awry. It's very severely awry about the way they did this Haktaros Ketoros. Was it sounds of the Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not commanded. They just decided to bring their own Ketoros in the middle of the day, not morning or afternoon, and that was to figure out why that was such a severe chet. Was it something else? It went Lefnai V'Lefnim. Something was off. Was it the fact that they were just deciding on their own on the first day that the Mishkan was fully open for business? They were deciding on their own, you know, how they want to do Avodas HaKarbanos. Avodas HaKarbanos, Kachim, is one of the areas where the Torah is most dense with details, even the Torah Shavuot. So much is laid out. Mishnah Chagiga talks about the fact that different areas of Halacha differ in terms of how much appears Torah Shavuot and how much it remains for Torah Shavuot. The Kachim is one of those areas, as we've been seeing the last number of Parshas, where there's a little tremendous amount of detail. Everything is Kachim Tziva Hashem as Moshe. So may the summary show understand that they were freestyling, and freestyling is highly inappropriate in the world of Kachim. Ramban actually opens his comment of Pasuk Beis. We're gonna focus on Pasuk Gimel. Ramban's comments of Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Beis, he opens by saying Maskil Yavin. Begin Hamaskil Yisbonim. Right. The first thing he says is, those who understand Kabbalah will understand what this pasuk is referring to. He goes on to work al derech nigla as well on what their chet was, but that already sort of sets the stage. It sets the stage for understanding that a lot of this is going to remain mysterious. Then what I want to focus on is not so much what was their chet, but to look at the human responses, specifically the human responses of Moshe and Aaron. That may be, let's see what we can understand, what the Torah is telling us about Moshe and Aaron's response to this incredible tragedy, an incredibly surprising tragedy. And sometimes you hear about an individual passed away and it was sudden and they didn't know, you know. Sometimes the family has more time to prepare, less time to prepare. This was a day of incredible national simcha. This is the first day the Kohanim are fully on duty, and suddenly, you know, Aaron HaKohen loses half of his children. So how do you? It's hard to even begin to think about this. That's Pasuk Gimel. V'yomer Moshe el Aharon hu asher diber Hashem lemor bikrovai ekadesh v'al pnecha la'am ikaved. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. V'krovai ekadesh. I will become miskadesh through those who are close to me. V'apnei kol ha'am ekaved. There will be greater kvod shamayim on the face of the whole nation. That's what Moshe says to Aaron. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. V'yidom Aaron. And Aaron is silent. There's a tremendous, tremendous amount going on here. Let's try at least scratch the surface. By looking at beginning to learn the words of the Ramban on this pasuk, Perek Yud Pasuk Gimel, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. So the first question that strikes you is where? There's some antecedent here. We're referring to, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu previously has already told us, and now we see it playing out. Where in Chumash? Let's look back through Bereishis Shmos and the beginning of Vayikra. Where in Chumash has this appeared? So Rashi already deals with this. Rashi is quoting Gemara in Zvachim. And that's how the Ramban opens, by quoting Rashi. Hey, Chandiber, where had the Ribbono Shel Olam previously spoken about this? V'nikdash b'chvodi. I will become kadosh through my, in my kavod, through my kavod. So the Gemara says, Al tikri b'kavodi al b'mechubadai. You have a drasha, Al tikri drasha, that the reference is not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechubadim, the distinguished people. Armelo Moshe li Aaron. So Moshe turns to Aaron, and he says, Aaron achi, my dearest brother, my only brother Aaron. I knew that something would happen, the house with the Beis Hashem, would someone become Kaddish through those who are close to him. So I thought that must be either me or you, between Moshe and Aaron, one of the two. Achshav shani roeh shehem kedoshim mimeni umcha, or him gedolim mimeni umcha. They are greater. They are holier. Wow. Loshen Rashi mimedrash Rabbosein. That is the language that Rashi quotes from the Midrash Chazal that appear in Masechet Zvachim, near the end of Masechet Zvachim. Im kein, so the Ramban says, well, if that's the case, yeh tam v'nikdash b'chavodi sheyeh kadosh be'enei kol ha'am uvim mechubadai. Nikdash b'chvodi means it'll be clear to everyone that this, including the distinguished people, that this house is kadosh, that this house is exalted, and this house is requires an extraordinary amount of discipline. V'yeidu'u ki ani shochem bo. V'yeidu'u ki ani shochem bo. Everyone will understand that this Mishkan actually is a place of Shechina. It's actually a Mishkan. It's a place of Shechina. There actually is a Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shochin Shechina, so in this place. And the standards are that much higher. Rabbi Avram, the Ibn Ezra, Gamkein Omer, Hu Asher Dibar Hashem Lemur. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. For Omer Li Hashem Shiareh Kedushaso B'Krovim Eilav. Because Baruch Hu already told me that he would demonstrate the Kedusha of the Mishkan through those who are close. Ketam Rak Eschem Yodati Mikol Mishpachoso Adama. Kasher are bam kedusha si zu az ehyen nichbar al pnei kol ha'am v'yaru mi meni. When everyone will see through an interaction with these particular people, they'll understand. It'll impact the audience. Eschem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama. He understands that pasuk in Amos means that everyone will come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with Klal Yisrael. Not to say negative, but the interactions with one group will teach everyone something. See here too, Klal Yisrael will learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with Gedolim. Im kein hu dibur lo nichtav. Now, according to Ibn Ezra, certainly, this dibur was never written down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ibn Ezra said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will explain to me that this is how we act. Okay. Hashem hodiyo deracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, where do we have that language from? Hashem hodiyo deracha. Right, that mysterious paragraph in Parshas Kisisa, where Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hodiyo deracha. Teach me your ways. Let me understand how you are. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll grant your request partially. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you'll be able to understand in retrospect. I'll give you some partial insight. But there had been some degree of hoda'as derachav that's recorded in Kisisa. So Rabban is saying, okay, who asher dibir Hashem? It's not a pasuk. It's not Torah Shebichzav. It's Torah Shebapeh. The Torah Shebichzav describes that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given Moshe Rabbeinu lessons in Machshava. We would say lessons in the Das Tunis, the content of Das Tunis, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. The Torah describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him something, doesn't tell us what. Right, this is part of it. Again, in response to the question of where did it say this? Where has HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us? Again, so Rashi says, it's a pasuk in Chumash, v'inktash b'chodi. Ibn Ezra says, it's referenced in Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him b'alpeh, hodeini az derechecha, v'risus acharei funai leiro. Rabban says, it's not in Tarash b'chzav, it's not in Tarash b'alpeh. What remains? He says, you're misunderstanding the word diber. Hu asher diber Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. Said. Rabban says to us, does l'daber always mean to speak? Rashi and Ibn Ezra both assuming that it means that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, let's look to figure out where explicitly or implicitly do we see reference in Chumash to HaKadosh Baruch Hu having told Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabban says, I disagree fundamentally with the whole premise. L'dati b'derech hapshat ein tzarech b'chol zeh. And Rabban again is beginning, as we've seen in the past, with a question of parshanut. How do you deal with a problem in the text? How do you translate this word? So let's see how he deals with the language, and then let's take a step back and ask what larger issue is the Torah driving forward here. L'dati b'derech hapshat ein tzarech b'chol zeh. Rabban says, I think al derech pshat, there's no need for all this. Why is he saying al derech pshat? Because the Gemara in Zvachim does say this. Hey, Chandiver. He says, that's fine. That's fine. That's al derech drash, but let's talk al derech pshat. Al derech pshat, this is unnecessary. Why? Ki diber Hashem gezeiro sav o machshav tov inyan derechav. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking can include his decisions, can include his thoughts, can include the way he operates. In other words, in human terms, l'daber can mean to think as well as to speak. How do I know? He says, dibarta anim libi. Pasuk in Kohelet. I spoke with my heart. That does not mean that Shlomo Melech was walking down the street talking to himself. It means that he was thinking about it. Chashavti machshav azu. I thought this thought. Or, so, number one, davar could mean l'daber, or davar could mean a thought. And v'zeh ha-davar shemol Yehoshua, or al-divar ha-kesef, means zeh ha-inyan. V'zeh divar ha-shmita, a pasuk that he doesn't quote. There are many psukim like that in Chumash. Where davar could mean achar ha-divarim ha-ele. Doesn't necessarily mean after this conversation. It means after these events, after these inyanim. Or, v'sihi ishar leven adonecha kasher diber Hashem. Where is that? Let her marry my master's son as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was midaber. Who says that? To whom? Who are they speaking to? V'sihi ishar leven adonecha kasher diber Hashem. Let her marry your highness's son. Who's speaking? That's Rivka's family speaking to Eliezer. Kasha Dibur Hashem, as Hashem spoke. Hashem spoke. Eliezer didn't claim to be a Navi. Eliezer didn't tell them HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me anything. But it's clear that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision was. Right? So Rabban says, in other words, if you think about that carefully, if we look at that pasuk with open eyes, Diber there means Gazar. It doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's clear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gozer. You see, the Sibim HaShemayim. They said this is Dvar Hashem. Not Dvar Hashem, he said it to you. But Dvar Hashem, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. We'll go with the indication of the divine decision. And the Pasuk in Malachim. The Russia who rebuilt Yericho, which wasn't supposed to be rebuilt, and lost his children over the course of that construction project, as was Devar Hashem was medaber that biyad Yehoshua benun. What's the Rabban's point? Look back at Yehoshua. We remember saying for Yeshua, is there a nevuah that's going to be an onesh? Or is there Yehoshua decrees this? This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. But not Devar Hashem that Rosh Hashem spoke. V'hine Omar Moshe. So it says, the Rabban says, one second. We just had a major, major yesod. A major dictionary yesod. Newsflash. The word davar, or the verb diber, the shorish dalad beis reish, does not necessarily mean actual verbal speech. Al derech pshat. Before we even go on to see how he plugs it back into the pasuk here and what the larger thematic implications are, we actually touched on this earlier this week in a different context. I mentioned earlier this week, Rav Schechter's want to point out that the common style of drush in the Talmud Bavli is to darshan the word davar as dibur. Zed devar hashmita, which in context, al pi pshuto, again, means this is the topic of shmita. These are the halachas of shmita's ksav. With the Gemara darshans, milashan dibur, that there's a conversation that has to happen. That I have to say, if you come over and you want to pay the debt, I have to protest. I have to say mishametani. But then if you insist, I know you're mishab, I want to pay anyway, then I have the right to accept. How do you know that? I know that on the one hand, it's not enough not to ask you for the money, but that I actually have to, even when you offer proactively, I need to refuse. And on the other hand, how do I know that once I did refuse in an authentic fashion and you insist, then I have the right to accept the money? How do I know that? A drasha from Zed Devar HaShmita, that there's a dibur, there's conversation involved, the chi of dibur in Shmita Tzavim. Or Zed Devar HaRotzeach. Zed Devar HaRotzeach. Papashav Shah means this is the halachas. If a Jew murders the shogeg, so he's sent to galus. But what does that have to do with speech? People usually don't murder verbally. The Gemara says, Apashav Shah, it doesn't mean speech, it means topic. But the Gemara darshan, Zed Devar HaRotzeach, when you're in, it's not enough to go to your miklat, even when you're in the to see, you're strongly incentivized to stay in the Ir Miklat. You know, one step out of the Ir Miklat could be your last step. It's actually a remarkably efficient approach to incarceration. So you think about it.
Prison wouldn't
go on a leave. Right. It's free. There's very little cost involved in maintenance. And Pashup Shat, it's hard to imagine that many Goalei Hadam were even interested. You're interested in killing back. In theory, you could. In theory, you have the right to. There might be a small percentage of Goalei Hadam who actually would want to act on that. And that small percentage is probably incentive enough to keep the golem to the Ir Miklat ensconced in the Ir Miklat. You know that there's this outside chance you could be hunted down that will keep you inside. It's like a remarkably decentralized approach to incarceration. But anyhow, let's come back to the that's just a sidebar about the whole topic of Ir Miklat. But with the Gemara darshans, the onesh of galus is not only that you have to leave your home and go to the Ir Miklat, but even in the Ir Miklat, you're not supposed to accept. Ir Miklat is a fully functional city. The Ir Miklat is not only Ir Miklat, it's a city. There are six cities which happen to also have status as Ari Miklat, sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities in a very specific, legally defined fashion. So, but they're fully functioning cities. So you're going to be in Chevron. Chevron's a big city with all sorts of businesses, all sorts of people, lots of different neighborhoods, and all sorts of things going on. So the Jew left his hometown and he moved to Chevron because he's Golot Ir Miklat, I believe. If I remember correctly, I think Chevron is one of the Ir Miklat. Yeah, sure. He probably would move his family with him. The Gemara even says they have to provide for him. It has to be a fully functioning city with all the things you would want to have, including shiurim, that Talmud Shagala Magla Rabbi Imo. Okay. I guess that incentivizes Rabbeim to train their Talmudim to be sensitive and responsible people. Certainly a major topic of Maseches Bava Kama. We will actually be getting back to that very soon, and the question of responsibility for one's own actions. That's the underlying lumdus of Adam Mazik Bonus. But coming back here, so it's not, even in this fully functioning city, so they'll say, you know, here's a fellow, he's very, he seems like a fine fellow, very capable, would like to make you president of the shul, would like to make you captain of the soccer team, would like to make you magachir the dafshir, whatever it is. We'd like to give you some position or another. They want to be mechabed him, so he has a din daraisa, he's mechayiv to say, you understand. I'm not just here because I heard this is a great place for startups. I'm here because I'm chayiv galus. That's why I'm living here. He has to refuse the honor. How do you know that? We darshan that din from v'zed devar harotzeach. Al derech drash, devar means dibur. Al derech pshat, even though derech pshat, it does not. So here we're seeing that same reality that you see throughout the Talmud Bavli, that will darshan davar to mean dibur. So the other side of that same coin is to recognize that l'daber doesn't al pipshuto necessarily mean dibur. So it's very consistent. The Gemara in Zavachim says heichan dibur al derech drash. We always look for the verbal aspect of the use of the term dalad beis resh. In other words, if we hadn't wanted to have that additional level of interpretation, the Tanakh would have used a different word instead of davar. We don't always say. Sometimes we say, you know, Zos Taras HaNazir. There are other ways of saying Zos HaTorah. We're going to learn about it in 2 days. Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amos Ba'ohel. Doesn't say Zeh HaDavar. Doesn't always say Davar. There are other ways of saying this is the topic. There are other ways of saying this is a gzeiro, or this is the idea. This is a thought. We don't have to use Davar. So Derech Drash, if the Torah chooses to use the word Davar specifically, that's to indicate there's an additional level of meaning of Dibur. But al pipshuto, it does not necessarily mean dibur. Now the Ramban is saying, let's take it a step further. Not only the noun davar, even the verb ledaber, hu asher diber Hashem lemar. Ramban is saying, even diber doesn't necessarily mean to speak. It can mean one of the other senses of davar. Question.
It's a little bit off because I was trying to He's making a distinction in Hashem deep with Daber and Hashem thinking and Hashem making Zera. But when we say in the Torah, it's all Kaviyachal, right? When we say in the Torah Hashem speaks, we don't actually think he has a mouth that speaks.
Great question.
Why would we start making distinction It all just means
so Ariel's asking Gavaldz Gakasha in a human context. So I say Dibarta Niim Libi, the Pazakalas means I thought to myself rather than I spoke, because people speak and people think. Ariel's asking, but here we're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what's the difference between God speaking and God thinking? It's all human metaphor, anthropomorphic description of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anyways, great question. Excellent question. I think the answer is you're right. That Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak the way we speak. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't think the way we think. But what's being captured by saying God spoke, not that he has vocal cords, but there is a difference. To say, again, metaphorically, that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke means he actually communicated it to people. To say Kadosh Baruch Hu thought means Kadosh Baruch Hu had planned this, but not communicate to people. And that brings us to the next line of the Ramban. Because the key point here is Rashi and Ibn Ezra are both assuming that Hu Asher Diber Hashem Leimar, Moshe is saying to Aaron, yeah, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me this last week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me this last year. He had told us this. Maybe he didn't tell us in detail, but now I understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me earlier. And then they begin to look, well, where in Chumash did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu this? You saw it. So Rashi finds one pasuk, Ibn Ezra find a different pasuk, but let's see where the Ramban goes. So let's just see where Ramban goes, and then I think it'll solve your problem. Hinei Omar Moshe. So what's Moshe saying to Aaron? According to Ramban, it's subtly different, but fundamentally different. He's not saying, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me this last week. I should have understood. I should have known. I didn't fully appreciate what Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying. No. He's not saying at all, we knew this going in. Not at all. We didn't know anything, Ramban says. What's Moshe's point? Amar Moshe, ha-mikre ha-zeh, hu esher gozar Hashem, Lemor elibo b'kravai ekadesh lo yarsu kedushasi. He's not saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us this in advance. What's his point? It was God's decision. This wasn't random. This was a gzeir from Shemayim. I don't know why. Adraba. He's not saying, for Rashi and Ibn Ezra, Moshe saying, this is a tragedy which I understand. It's a tragedy which I understand. This is an application of that concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught me. It's tragic, it's painful, but I understand why. I understand why it happened. This is consistent with what I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already taught me about his drachim. Rabban is saying, I have no idea why. But I do know that HaKadosh, I don't understand why, but I do know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving the ship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, metaphorically speaking, is at the helm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to this. He's not saying anything more. He's not trying to explain whatsoever. He's not saying pshat. No pshat more than Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly had made this decision. And we can see that an impact of it will be Bikrovai Ekadesh Shol Yarusu El Kedushasi, that the sons of the elder sons of Aaron were trifling with the Kedushas HaMikdash, and they were being destructive, being horace. The Kedushas HaMikdash, and they were punished for that. We didn't see this coming, but apparently that was the response. We can imagine going forward, I'll play Kala Ame Kaved, that going forward, Yiyu Noagim Kavod B'Mishkani, that in the future, the Klal Yisrael will learn from this, that Mishkan has to be handled with kid gloves. You can't just do whatever you want, can't trample all over the Mishkan. But he's not saying we knew this before at all. And that's, I think, a subtle difference, but a very fundamental difference. Again, it really comes from how you translate one word. That's what Hashem told me? Or it means that's what clearly that must be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided. Question?
Answer.
Gevaldik. So now, let's take a look. So that was a big... The larger part of the Rabban, the bulk of the Rabban, was a three way machlokes, how to understand what's the reference, who Hashem Dibar Hashem with Moshe, who Hashem Dibar Hashem, and rooted in a two way machlokes of how you translate the word Dibar, and as we saw, it results in two different approaches to two different understandings of how Moshe is responding to the tragedy. Is he saying, this is tragic and I understand it somehow? Oh, I should have understood? Or saying, it's tragic, I didn't know about this in advance. We could understand a little bit, but not saying, oh yeah, that was the shiur that I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a couple weeks ago. The ikar is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly was gozer. Maybe we can figure out a little bit. It must be that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer. And then, so that's an obvious gem. The bulk of this Ramban. There's also a hidden gem, and it's the last line. Also, a machlokes over translations, a dictionary machlokes, a lexicographical machlokes, if you like polysyllabic words, but a dictionary machlokes, how you define a word. Here he doesn't really unpack the significance of it, but I think if you think about it a little bit, it's striking. Vayido, up until now he's been talking about the first half of the pasuk. Most of the pasuk is what Moshe says to Aaron. The last two words are Aaron's response. What's Aaron's response? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was domain, which means Aaron was silent. So what does that mean? V'tam vayidom Aaron. What's the, again, as we've seen many, many times in the past, ta'am in Ramban al Torah talk doesn't mean like the reason. Ta'am means the translation. V'tam vayidom Aaron, or maybe the background. Shayaboka b'kol. What do you mean he was silent? Well, now the obvious question is, what do you mean he was silent? We haven't heard him speak yet. If Aaron said something, then Moshe responded, and then Vayidom Aaron. Okay, Aaron asked a kasha, Moshe gave an answer, and Aaron said, I have no more questions. But Aaron hasn't spoken yet. This incredible tragedy occurs. None of our view are killed suddenly. And then we hear Moshe turns to Aaron and says something, but Yidam Aaron. What do you mean he's being silent? As opposed to, so it could be, as opposed to responding. Okay, he could have said something in response to Moshe. He didn't. But what if it means that he stopped, like he got silent? So what noise was he making beforehand? Now, it could be that he said something to Moshe. The Chumash doesn't record it. Not every line, every conversation is recorded in the Chumash. But the Ramban has two other approaches. We don't know that he was speaking, but we can imagine what he was doing was he was crying. So the first approach Ramban has, it must be that he was shrieking. He must have been crying out loud. And then he quieted down. He stopped yelling. Must have been screaming in pain. And after Moshe said this, he stopped yelling. Oketam al tidom ba'aseinecha. Or it could be like the translation, the tam, the meaning of demama in a pasuk in Eicha. Al tidom ba'aseinecha, don't let your ba'asein is the area where the gland which emits tears. Don't let your bas ayin be silent. Don't let your eye, your tear ducts, be silent. Now, the gland doesn't make a lot of noise. It expresses itself, and metaphorically, to not be silent means to express itself. Tear ducts don't express themselves through sound, they express themselves through tears. Al tidom bas einecha means don't let your tear ducts be silent, means don't stop crying. So what did Ramban just tell us? He gave us two pshatim. What were the two pshatim? The first one is that he was crying out loud. He was yelling and screaming, and then he quieted down, yeah? Called the mama daka. Well, that's a very good point. But remember, let's just do this carefully. Al tidom ba'aseinecha in Eicha. So the Mekonin, presumably Yirmiyahu, unless Yirmiyahu is calling someone else, is saying, don't let your tear ducts be silent. Meaning, don't stop crying. For your tear duct to be silent would be to stop crying. So the first shot, well, let's work first. The second shot is Vayidom Aaron means he was domain. He stopped crying. The first shot is he didn't stop crying. He stopped shrieking. Right? That's where Ramban was. Again, it's a one-line Ramban here. So you can't miss it. If you blink, you're going to miss what's going on here. Again, let's read it again. V'tam v'yidom Aaron. What does v'yidom Aaron mean? Shot number one, sh'boche b'kol. Beforehand, he was crying out loud. V'oz shasak. And then he literally was domain. He quieted down. In other words, he kept crying, but quietly. He stopped shrieking. He was still crying. The second shot is, Vayidam Aaron means he stopped crying. Not literally, he was silent, not verbalizing anything, but metaphorically, as in the Pasuk in Eicha. In Eicha it says, don't stop crying, don't be domain. Here he was domain, he did stop crying. So that one-liner, the Ramban had very, very rapidly two pshatim in what does the Chumash mean? That two-word end to the Pasuk. Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. The last two words, Vayidom Aaron, what does that mean? Does that mean that Aaron stopped shrieking or Aaron stopped crying? Which also captures two different responses to making sense of tragedy. As Moshe says, let's try to put this into perspective. So the Ramban says there are two ways of understanding how Aaron responded. One of them, the second way of understanding how Aaron responded, he talked and stopped crying. He said, wow, that changes everything. That changes everything. It's a tragedy, but I can see it within the perspective of Dvar Hashem. Mm-hmm. Not even crying. It changed his emotional response. The other, the first approach is he was still crying. He stopped shrieking. He was still crying. He kept grieving. It changed things to a degree. He didn't stop being sad. He didn't stop crying. He didn't stop grieving. But he grieved differently. Now he was no longer shrieking. Or maybe he was keeping it. He said, no, it's not what the first shot in Ramban is capturing. It's not binary. It's not either you're on, you're off, you're grieving, you're not grieving. There could be different paths, as we know. Different people grieve in different ways. And any one person who's grieving, you're going to go through different stages of grieving at different points in time. So the conversation with Moshe may have moved him very, very far. It advanced him tremendously. That's the second shot. Mamish, he was done, he stopped crying. Or no, the first shot is he was still crying, but it took a certain edge off of things. It made more sense, but it didn't take away from the fact that there's a loss. So he wasn't shrieking. The example of what happened to Aaron, he wasn't shrieking, he was still crying. In Shulchan Aruch it says that when a Jew says Baruch Dayan HaEmes, a lost a relative, one of the hardest dinim in Shulchan Aruch. The Avil has to say it with a certain degree of, I don't know if they use the word simcha, but a certain degree of the same mood as a shehechiyanu, ideally. That's to recognize that this was Gzeres HaMelech, I don't get why, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding things. That degree of acceptance, they say there was one of the great Talmidim of Rishon Salanter. I think it was the Altar of Kelim, the Simcha Zisal Ziv. One of the three major Talmid of Altar of Kelim, together with Tali Amsterdam and Yitzhak Blazer, Yitzhak Panavishim, Yitzhak Pedreberger. So I think it was Reb Simcha Zissel of Kelim, was incredibly organized, neat, on time, punctual person. He lost his son, I believe. Son was still single, son passed away. An incredible tragedy. And he was, I think they say, the close an hour late to the Levaya. It's bizarre. Bizarre on so many levels. How you come late to Levaya? Charles Levaya, where were you? And Simcha Zissel was a man who was, for far lesser things, so punctual. The whole thing was like, it seemed so bizarre, so distasteful. And I came late to your own Levaya, to Charles Levaya. So apparently someone, at some point, asked him, my high, and he explained that he needed to get himself, it took him an hour to get himself to the point where he could say Baruch Adayin HaEmes with the right frame of mind. That's a madrega. Even if you're such a Baal Madrega that you can say Adayin HaEmes with that frame of mind, Efilim Timsalomar Kane, you're still not saying a Shehechianu, you're not saying Tov HaMetim, you say Baruch Adayin HaEmes. From our perspective, it's a tragedy. We believe that called my dad Rachman Latav of it. We believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and his great is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's interest in our ultimate good. And we also recognize that from our limited human perspective, it's often incredibly unclear how different things that happen to us in the moment are good things. So we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, we're finite. As Yishayahu reminds us in the Haftarah for Tanya Sibur. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sees things with far greater perspective than we do. And you think about that moment when Yosef says, Ani Yosef. All of a sudden, 20 years worth of events take on a new perspective. So we recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has our business in mind. And we also recognize that we don't necessarily see it. And at the same time, that ideally a Jew should have that frame of mind when saying the bracha of Dayan HaEmes, but the nusach ha-bracha still corresponds to our perspective. Halacha doesn't ask us to erase our perspective. It's a tragedy. and we're crying. And we're going to say Baruch Adai and Hamas. And we're going to try, if a Jew is on that Madrega, to sort of balance the bracha, which expresses human perspective on the limited human perspective on the event, with a mood of saying that bracha, an awareness that there's a greater divine perspective, that both are in play. I think that's part of what's being captured. Yidam Aaron, now he begins to appreciate the divine perspective, and it's still a tragedy. And it's still a tragedy. But he was at a point where this was able to enrich the way he was looking at it. And he has a dynamis with a certain bent of mind. But Yidam Aaron is crying, but silent. Crying but not shrieking. That again, different people will grieve differently. It's not for everyone's going to, the way you're going to express it will not necessarily be crying but not shrieking. Different people express it differently. But the example we see by Aaron captures that delicate reality. One more nakuda to add, just in thinking about how this plays out practically. Aaron HaKohen was a rare tzaddik. Aaron HaKohen had probably achieved one of the greatest levels of Yedias Hashem that a human being could aspire to. So Moshe could say this to Aaron moments after the tragedy. And it had a positive impact. The Mishnah in Elvis reminds us that for most normal, typical human beings, you're not Menachem on the spot. And the Mishnah says that in general, in many contexts, having conversations in the heat of the moment are typically not going to be productive conversations. Usually it's much better to have delicate conversations, shlo b'shas ma'isa. That's true in lots of relationships and lots of situations. And the Mishnah says specifically, when you want to give an offer tanchumen, you don't offer tanchumen kishemesa mutu lefanav. I haven't even buried the relative yet, you're already starting to talk about nechama, that's total lack of sensitivity and timing. We're not ready for that. We're not up to that yet. It's too soon. So Moshe Rabbeinu could turn around to Aaron moments after it happened. Aaron was a person of extraordinary Yedias Hashem. And Aaron was a person of extraordinary Tikkun Amidos, as we know. So the way you're going to actually implement the lessons of Perek Yud Pasuk Gimel for most people will be the next day, the day after, the week after. Number one. Number two, for most people, the awareness that, look, this is Gzeres Habore is often something that has to come from the Avil. Just to say, yeah, there must be some good reason for it. To initiate that to the Avil, in most cases, is incredibly painful and insensitive and counterproductive. But Moshe and Aaron were brothers. They were very incredibly close brothers, as we know from Parsha Shmos. And Aaron was a person of inestimable refinement of midos and inestimable refinement and yedia hakara sabore. So for Aaron, it could happen this soon, and for Aaron, it could be said to him by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the conversation often has to play out differently. For most people, it has to be at a later point, not 5 minutes after the tragedy or moments after the tragedy. And it usually has to be in the midst of a conversation that's opened by the Avil. And then, once the Avil opens the topic, then you can begin to hash things out. But the concepts remain the same. The way you would implement the conversation would be different with a typical Avil or some other person who's suffering loss. But the concepts are very, very real. Whether you're figuring out why, or as Rabban said, not figuring out why, but knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, as the Chazon Ish describes, bitachon is not that what I expect to happen will happen. Bitachon is the understanding that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans to happen will happen, which actually is very deeply calming. And that's the two, the different approaches, Asher Dibra Hashem, and the different approaches to Vayidam Aaron. A lot going on in this pasuk and this Ramban. A lot to think about.